8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Talk to Me here on Knotfest.com. The guest this week is Javon Odita Barnes and Head from Korn. They are on together to promote Javon's Noble Poets project. Head discovered Odita years ago. Now he's launching his rap career. God, that sounds so white. Awesome backstory on Javon. Make sure you go check it out. We get into it a lot in the interview, but to some context, you know, obviously, he grew up a drug dealer, got into millions of dollars worth of drugs, did the whole, got robbed at one point. The gun didn't go off, so he gave his life over to Jesus. So I think Javon and Head have that in common, where they've both found the Lord. And so they found each other through some mutual friends. Head is now helping promote Javon's Noble Poets Project. They both come on. We do talk to Head about some Korn stuff, some Love and Death stuff, the COVID tour, things like that. So we get into some Korn talk, we get into some Noble Poets talk, we get into some Thanksgiving talk. This was recorded about a week before Thanksgiving. So we find out what kind of pie Brian Head Welch is going to take to the to Thanksgiving. You know, when you're 15 years old in the 90s, you never think you're going to have a conversation with Head about what kind of pie he's going to take to a Friendsgiving. But it happened. It happened here on the Talk to Me podcast, here at Knotfest.com. Make sure to head over there, get a subscription, get some bonus content, get the video of this episode, get videos of the past episodes. So much has been going on. I have been fighting allergies and whatnot, so I haven't done a whole lot of the intros lately as we catch up with episodes. But I did want to say that over on TalkToMePod.com, however you get the podcast, however you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you've been checking out the last few episodes. So cool. We had Doc Coyle on, we had Don Jameson on, and then we've also been releasing the Throwback Throwdown with Toomies from Knotfest Twitch over on the Talk To Me podcast feed. So Terry Glaze, the band 68, Tommy Victor Prong, Legend was on there again. Sam from Chevelle came on the Throwback Throwdown with Toomey. That was an awesome interview. If you guys want to go check out one of my favorite interviews, check out Sam from Chevelle. I found out later that they are kind of press shy. They don't do a lot of press. And we had a really good conversation. So make sure you go check that one out. That was a lot of fun. So just been catching up. Hopefully everybody had a great holiday. It's the great holiday season. A few more episodes this year of Talk To Me. Got an insane guest coming up for next week. Plowing through these. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you need to get that special someone in your life a special gift, always reach out to me. We've got the Talk To Me t-shirt in size large up to 3X now. Yes, up to 3X. We have 2X. We have 3X. You guys asked for them. I have them. Come get them. Reach out to me on social media and we will get that to you. If you are listening to this on post day, over on the Knotfest Twitch tonight on Throwback Throwdown with Toomey, we will be having Bobby Burns of Primer 55. You know, that took a minute for me to get. And Johnny McBee from the Browning. I get sent a lot of records. And when I hit play on this, the Browning album, I loved it from the moment I hit play. Excited to talk to Johnny tonight. So Johnny tonight, 5:15 Eastern, Knotfest official Twitch. Bobby Burns, 6:15 Eastern, Knotfest official Twitch. Come hang out with us tonight. And without any more of my ramblings, let's check out Never Fit In by Noble Poets. Talk to Javon and Head. Check out the latest from Korn. And you guys have a great week, and I will see you tonight over on Knotfest Twitch.
When I look back on life as a kid, whole dirty bike, no, we never fit in. Skinny little body with a big old head, hanging out in the lobby, no, we didn't have a friend. Broke as a joke, rustler jeans, every step I take, the itch in me. Holes in my coat, questioning that when it gets cold, how will I not freeze? Yes, they teased me, didn't like me. Old dirty white, didn't have no Nikes. Better to break the depths of my psyche, down in a hole, waking up by me. Hit from the the world, found no cure. Didn't have a voice, I was so insecure. Couldn't make a choice, I was so immature. Hearing all the noise, I could hardly endure.
Dead to life, I couldn't find my peace of mind. My brain was split, this empty kid was all alone, but couldn't get.
Why'd this square peg never fit in your hole? Every time you tried, I broke that mold. Every time you tried to get control, it felt like a noose around my soul. This chokehold only got burst by the words you spoke. Yes, they hurt, I got burnt by the ones who were close.
Questions hurt. How could a father do that to his son? Making me know that the damage is done. Holding my stress while the kid must have run. Banging my chest while my anger's my drug.
Yes, they tease him, didn't like him. No, he never had a fan. All the things he said he never do. Yeah, he did. No, he's never felt like he's alone. Yes, they tease me, didn't like me. Through the years, lost all my friends. Most of the things I said I never do. Yeah, I did. I've never felt.
All my youth, I felt so rejected. Since day one, I felt so neglected. Since day one, I had no protection. Never felt safe, no direction.
Broken sun was my reflection. Life defined by my objections. In my mind was no connection. Little dirty, disrespected.
Had to bang my beat on a whole different drum. Didn't make a difference, I was living in a slum. Sitting on the corner while I'm looking at a bum. Picking through the cracks, making for a little crumb. Put the pee in poor, no hot water with broken doors. Roaches running all over the floor.
Dad's a drunk,
life's a bore.
Set the stage for all my rage. It lit the match and fuel the torch, it's a scratch of all my chips upon my back, then set the course.
That put on the dunce cap, maybe for a minute I can finally feel the love that all the other kids got. Instead I got to kick rock, stomach up in knots. Never felt tip-top, poor flick Hitchcock.
All of my problems I didn't create. All of my burdens, they working for hate. All that I wanted was love that I gave. Instead all I got was a miserable cage. All that I got was a cynical name. Nimrod the loser, no faking the scheme. I'll say it again, that I'll never fit in, and my world's a cage.
Yes, they tease him, didn't like him, no, he never had a fan. All the things he said he never do, yeah, he did, no. He's never felt like he's alone. Yes, they tease me, didn't like me, through the years lost all my friends. Most of the things I said I never do, yeah, I did.
All right, guys, just welcome OD Dub from Noble Poets, and then also our good friend Head from Corn. How we doing, guys?
Amazing, amazing. Yeah. And I'm going to tell everybody I'm going to a Friendsgiving, and I'm going to bring the pie right after this. So, dude, I just got home last night, and I'm celebrating being at home, and I'm just going to freaking chill and go see some friends. I love the holiday season, so yeah. I'm stoked.
Yeah.
What kind of pie are we getting?
I asked my friends. I think I'm going to do apple because they got a big tub of freaking – saturated fat ice cream.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
He'll come randomly when he comes into town. He'll just walk through my door and go into my pantry where my kids got their kid snacks. And so he's brought me to some of the stuff that he does, there's like this smorgasbord of all these different amazing types of junk food. It's quite fun.
Cheez-Its.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd you know that?
Because all kids have Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
Dude, my kids love Cheez-Its. We have like six boxes of Cheez-Its upstairs right now. So, yeah, it's a must-have if you got some kids around. ODW, let's talk about Never Fit In, man. What a subject to tackle. You know, what makes you want to kind of tackle that side of it to be personal in your lyrics rather than, you know, maybe a hip-hop trope of just talking about fake bling and houses and things like that. And actually, you know, releasing your soul out there, which Head, you know, is familiar with Jonathan Davis, obviously, you know, showing his soul. But I mean, you know, getting personal with your lyrics, how was that for you?
The whole album was a very deep process in regards to me going into the amount of abuse that I went through as a kid, to being an adolescent runaway, to then, you know, hitchhiking to Humboldt County, then becoming a really high-end drug dealer and, you know, just making more money than I could possibly imagine. And then, you know, having my friend get shot in the head next to me and the gun jamming in my head. And then my house getting raided and me almost going to prison for 8 years, and then Child Protective Services taking my daughter, and then going on the other side of recovery from addiction stepping into all those arenas throughout this song. I wanted to do something different with music. And I think that's really, really why our music, I don't really like to stick it in a genre, just because I know it has a certain sound to it, but it's more of the story that we're trying to help people with. And for me, already having tons of money and all that stuff, I know that abundance doesn't really fill that nasty hole. So all the bling and the cars and the rims and stuff like that, it just doesn't apply to the authentic story that Noble Poets is standing for. And so, you know, working on this record, you know, especially just the first video, there were several times where during set, the scenes in the video were so traumatic where I was taken back to what was happening to me as a child. And that's my son playing me in the video. So you put those things that's together. Awesome. I mean, I was just being real honest. I was crying several times. That stuff is super traumatic. And that actually happened to me. But the thing about it is the main goal was, if my story can help other people, can truly help other people, then it was all worth it. How many people go through this and don't get to share their story? There's millions.
That was the first thing I asked Javon when I saw that video. I was like, dude, did you lose it at watching your son play those crazy scenes? And he said multiple times, you know, because that's like, first of all, you're reliving it. See ya. I would be just a freaking puddle. I'd be sitting in a puddle.
Yeah, I was crying several times, and it was really intense. And you know, due to the fact that it's only a couple minute video, right? We didn't even go into the deepest, you know, parts of it. I mean, we did, but we didn't, because there's not enough time. I mean, you could do a movie with the amount of trauma and, you know, physical violence that I experienced as a kid. I mean, that was my life like every other day. And it was a new object I was beaten with, or something, watching my mom get knocked out, or my brothers getting just annihilated, you know, by a monster. And, you know, that's why I'm such an advocate for sobriety. And I've got, you know, I'm close to 20 years on, you know, a couple of years away from 20 years of sobriety. And, you know, with the amount of drugs and alcohol and money and all the everything that was congesting me up in here, I'm a huge advocate for mental health and sobriety. So, you know, people don't medicate because they want to medicate. They medicate because they're in pain, right? And so if this record, you know, that's coming out next year, and these singles that we're dropping in the transition of the record coming out, if we can reach either kids or adults or parents, you know, through the process, it's been interesting, because on my back end feed of after we dropped Never Fit In, there's been like 65-year-old ladies that saw the video and listened to the track, and they were like, man, I don't even listen to this type of music, but the story is so applicable of what happened to me. It's like, wow, we're accomplishing the goal, right?
Here's what it is. Like, music is therapy, man. And you're giving people therapy through your video, through, you know, through your words, and through just the telling of your story, just like Jonathan's done through lyrics, you know, and through his, you know, his art. That's your art form, and that's your purpose, and that's what I do. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's to get real and raw, and to show people they're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why Brian and I have connected for as long as we have, just because our stories are, you know, very similar. You know, I wasn't, you know, in a famous, you know, I wasn't the founder of Nu Metal, but the level of authority that I had, you know, the army of people that I had under me. And, you know, you don't give a 20-year-old moving, you know, million, 2 million, 3 million a month. You don't give that kind of money to a kid. Not one that had the type of messed up brokenness that I had, that magnified every bit of trauma that I had had. So the more money that I made, the more drugs I could do, the more stuff I could buy, the more fillers that I could try to find to, you know, to fill this empty pit that was inside of my chest. And so, you know, when we're tapping into the depths of the trauma and the depths of the abuse, and there, it would almost be impossible to listen to it and not really feel the message of what we're trying to get across. And I'm hoping that the music actually transcends genre, right? You don't have to be a hip hop head to connect with the story. And that's one thing that I love about music in general, is I may not be, you know, head over heels in love with the genre, but when I hear an actual song that speaks to me in here, then I become a fan and a listener. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that goes down to, like, you know, I might not be into NASCAR or something, but if there's a great documentary out about a driver, I'm going to watch it from start to finish and probably have another appreciation for that driver or even NASCAR altogether. So, I mean, when you throw your personal life into the music and give something of substance to people to appreciate, I think people will gravitate towards that rather than, like we talked about earlier, just rapping about cars and whatnot.
Did you watch that Netflix documentary of that NASCAR driver?
I have not. Is there a good one?
Yes, dude. That's crazy because I'm not into NASCAR at all. I make fun of my friends because I was like, hey, you going to go watch a car go in circles today? That sounds fun. and so this guy, he's from Germany. He won like multiple world titles and everything. And of all things, I think he's paralyzed from a skiing accident. So. Oh, it's just a crazy story, but I'm like halfway through it. So just throwing that out there.
I'll definitely have to check that one out.
That doc for some reason.
No. I was just pulling stuff out of the air, man. But yeah, I mean, but it kind of goes with anything. I mean, you know, it might be a certain type of music I don't like, but I will watch a band documentary about anybody. Even if I don't like their music, I'll end up checking it out. And by the end of it, I tend to be like, all right, maybe they're not that bad.
Yeah, no, that's, I think you hit it on the head. I do well with relating to storyline. And so if it's something that captivates me, it doesn't matter to me if they've overcome and they become a champion playing tiddlywinks. I want to hear their story,
right,
how they got to that point, because people don't get on the other side to win without a process. And so that's what I'm addicted to, is the process of it all, right? Watching people be the underdog and then overcome. So that's the message of really what we're doing. So,
Head, how did you meet Javon? How did you meet ODW here? How did you guys cross paths?
We got some friends in common in Northern California, and ended up in Redding, California. And this guy, freaking baller, had a boat, and we went out in the lake and. Just got mutual friends. I hang out with him and a few friends when I go into town. Just connected. You know what? We had a lot in common with the, you know, we both found Christ in our life, and we both didn't fit into what a lot of mainstream Christianity says. And we get attacked a lot for being who we are. But we had a fascination with the whole Christ thing. It's like you come to him, you pray to him, and then you die with him. And raised to a new form of life. And we've both experienced that. We're walking in this new form of life. It just, to me, it felt like, I mean, the whole metal community has been like infatuated with death for ever since metal began. And so to me, it was like, that sounds fun to lay my life down, to die and try this Christ thing out. And so we connected with that, but we also connect in a big way with the rejection that, you know, because, I'm in Korn, and he's doing his really real and raw hip hop, and people don't understand that. And we don't care, because we're doing our thing, and, you know, we're just trying to show people that these idiots outside of, you know, Korn concerts or whatever metal concert that are saying rock music and heavy metal is of the devil, you know? And they were, the Westboro Baptist Church was outside of a Korn concert a month ago saying that we're all going to hell and all this. And it's just like,
I saw that.
It's sickening, man. And so we're just, I don't know. We had a lot in common with that, but you know, just his story. And we both have daughters around the same age, and they're growing up, and they're living their life, and we share our struggles with what they go through and their victories and all that stuff. So plenty in common, and we just stayed in touch. You know, I live on the other side of the country than him. So I don't see him all the time, but we stay, you know, after a few months, we're always checking in, you know, seeing what's up. But I'm just stoked for him to put this project out because he's been sitting on it for a while. He's a busy dude. He's got all this business stuff he's doing. What are you, a broker? The real estate broker and all this? And
yeah, I own a mortgage.
He's like, dude, this guy is like got all kinds of things in the kitchen. He's always cooking something up. So
yeah. Well, you know, the thing is what they wanted to put me in the pen for eight, right? Well, I ended up with no criminal record. Because you can't own a mortgage branch and have a criminal record. I mean, it was a gift of God that what happened happened. I mean, it was an absolute miracle. And so all I did was, as I applied, people always wondered when I was in the drug game, how I had so much. And there was three things that I really did was don't lie to people, take care of people really well, be generous. I took those skills and I applied them in business is what I did. And I moved up very, very quickly. I was the top producer for one of the largest firms in the country in the first year. But, and that's what's, you know, fueled the record label, you know, starting Lion Rock Records. You know, Head's been such a huge part of that process too, from getting me the legal help. You know, he got me his attorney and setting up all the paperwork. At the end of the day, not only with lyricism and music production, but I'm so intrigued with the business side of things. And there's one commonality that you see with artists, a lot of their paperwork isn't right. And so from the beginning, I called Head and I was like, hey, I want to make sure that this paperwork is flawless. I don't want any holes. I don't want Caleb, my record label partner. I don't want any problems, because when you don't do things right on the front end, you're going to have to deal with more problems on the back end. So, you know, the business side of things has deeply intrigued me as well. And just doing it right as far as music business is concerned and taking care of people at a deeper level than the quote unquote industry standard. So Brian can share that. We share that commonality as well with both of our personal projects coming out. I actually followed his lead because of the way he's handled the Love and Death project. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do the same thing. I'm going to do the same thing with Caleb, where as soon as revenue starts coming in, he's just going to immediately be taken care of. I'm not going to wait for the label to recoup. And it's because I love Caleb more than I do the money. Right. And so when you live in that type of mentality, we're on a universal law called reap what you sow. And so I've learned a lot from just paying attention to and having conversations with Brian and following his lead, really. When he says something, he does it for a reason, because he's way more experienced than I am. And I'm like, oh, he did that for a reason. So
I've been gifted, man, with the corn and a lot of success in music. And so the Love and Death, yeah, it's just we may lose our ass on our projects, but we put the music out because we love music. We love people. Yeah. And yeah, we want, you know, the people that are in our projects that are maybe younger than us coming up, we want them to get something out of it. And so, yeah, it's fun, man. It's fun to be able to do stuff for people and just to put out music and watch people react to it and uplift, you know, masses of people. It's a very blessed life we got, man. I'm very grateful for my life.
Well, and what's awesome, I mean, obviously there's the corn aspect, but Love and Death is so good. I mean, my goodness.
Thanks, dog. I'll Venmo you later.
Well, dude, I mean, I'm just being...
It is good.
I've listened to this record probably 20 times, and I'm just listening to every part of the mix. I'm listening to how well Joe mixed it, how well he even tucked Lacey's vocals behind Let Me Love. I mean, just you pick it apart, it's just like, man, the level of musicianship that these people are operating in is just, it's unbelievable. And it was mixed and mastered so well, all of it. And you can feel Brian's character coming out in the songs. Knowing Brian, that's when you hear it, you're like, oh man, you can hear Brian's heart in what they're doing, which is so impactful. Like when Brian says how much he cares, he's not like just saying that. Like Brian will lay his life down. I've watched him do it over and over and over and over again. And that's not me tooting your horn, bro. That's me watching you for 10 years, watching who you are as a man. I think that's why we're friends. And that's also what I've learned so much from him.
You know, a wise man once said, it's better to give than to receive. So it's like,
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get a lot of peace out of giving back.
Yep.
So yeah. That's it, man. Maybe it's selfish of me because I get more peace when I give more. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's the gift of music to humanity, I think, is it's just such a powerful tool. And you know, I'm not sure how much you listen to hip hop, but the genre is just so corroded.
It's weird, yeah.
You know,
go
ahead.
No, I was gonna say my he's 16 now. You know, when I drive him to school in the morning, I give him the aux cord. You know, give him, let him start his day off right. You know, he likes to listen to his music. And I, you know, when I was a kid and when I was going to high school and throwing on the first Korn album, and my parents probably freaking out a little bit. You know, so I know that this music is not made for me. Like the stuff he's listening to. You know, what is it? NLE Choppa and all this, like all this. You know, this rap that he's finding, this hip hop, and I want to be the guy that's like, this isn't hip hop, this isn't Dre, this isn't Snoop, you know, this isn't Busta Rhymes, you know, all that stuff. Ice Cube, you know, listen, you know, son, here's N.W.A., you know, go back and try again. But you know, that would be my dad going, you know, Korn isn't Led Zeppelin, you know, Korn isn't
right,
you know, all that stuff. So I know I gotta just let him be, but I do hear it. Every morning on the way to school, he's listening to different songs, and yeah, it's a much different hip hop out there now.
Yeah, the level of, you know, call me a critic, but being raised on lyricism and storytelling, there's not a lot of depth to that in what's out right now. It doesn't inspire to be greater. It's a numbing agent, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, that's why I work so hard not to just make the sound modern, because our sound is very modern, but also have a depth of lyricism that I'd probably say 9 out of 10 MCs are not coming in with. Right. So we're actually, I think we're a counterculture movement, so to speak, you know, bringing that knowledge and that wisdom and leading people down the alleys of what happens when you're living in darkness and making, you know, a lot of these rappers are promoting the continuance of dysfunction. And I'm not a fan of that. I want people to be emotionally healthy, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy. I want all those things for people. And so it's a tough genre to tap into when you're kind of doing the opposite of what everybody else is. I mean, it'd be real simple to just write some dumb shit about, you know, how dope my house is and, right, you know, how nice it is having everything, you know, that, I mean, I could rhyme about my
wife. You got a dope house.
Yeah. You haven't been to the new one yet, bro. the new one's real nice, but you know, the thing is I'm just hoping that there will be an audience that is searching for something deeper than what's out there right now. So that's, we're going to find out pretty quick here. So,
So Head, at what point did you find out that he was a rapper? I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, anytime you go to the gas station, the guy behind the counter is like, hey, you know, my cousin's got a band, or, you know, you say, you know, him from friends of friends. So I'm assuming a lot of your friends have nephews and nieces that have bands and things like that. So at what point did you realize he was a rapper and you gave it a chance to, you know, hear what he was doing?
I mean, I think pretty much right away, right, Javon?
Yeah, we were connected as friends. I mean, you listened to some stuff that we were tinkering around with, but it wasn't until we worked on Addiction, really, that, I mean, you knew I did lyrics, but you know,
yeah, I knew he loved hip hop and I was metal, but our stories are very similar. But yeah, it was just, I think it was a process. Maybe within a couple, 2 or 3 years, he started getting really into it. And, you know, I'd visit up there with the friends and whatnot. And then we'd just start talking more about it and just messing around, you know, like late nights at the pad, his kids are all crashed. They're like 4 and 5 years old, whatever they were back then, except Max, she was, you know, obviously a teenager, late teen or whatever, but just kind of messing around. He started building a studio and then we were just nothing to do at night, messing around. And so, remember I was screaming that, never again, never again. I was screaming these screams, and his kids were, he's like, they won't wake up, bro. Don't worry. Scream as loud as you want.
They've been raised on being around this. And so, you know, what was cool, the track he's talking about, we actually pollinated two sounds. I have still to this day haven't released the track, but it, you know, I was dropping bars and the sound that was created out of what him and I, it just shows you that there's no limitations on music. And the track that the people that I have let hear it, which has been a very small amount, have just been like, oh my gosh, I've never heard anything like this before. Like, this is just absolutely crazy that, you know, Brian has a very specific sound to him and I have a very specific sound. And when you take those two things together and merge those two worlds, it was like, man, this is like a recipe for disaster to the music industry, just because I haven't heard it before. When you have something that nobody's heard, there's just been nothing done like it. And so it was fun to be able to do that together, just because, you know, he's in one world and I'm in another, and taking those two and doing them together, you know, working till 4 a.m. and, you know, obviously watching a genius work. He's just an absolute perfectionist and so am I. So
nah, man. I'm a perfectionist, but leave the genius out.
Well, sitting next to somebody, you don't get where you are.
Right.
If you're not at that level, that people just don't get there. Right. That's just not.
You got to have some OCD going on, definitely. And you got to freaking get that thing shiny, you know, that work of art, shiny as you can, because if it goes out and it's not as shiny as it could be, then that's like a thorn in your side for every time you listen to it. You're like, oh, I should have. So, we're definitely similar in that aspect.
Yeah, he's very, very, he says not to call him a genius, and this is a me tooting your horn, bro, but it really, working with him, he has this ear that when he is singing, it's a gift. It really is genuinely a gift, and watching it was such a gift for me to be able to sit with him and watch him do what only he can do. Nobody sounds like Brian, right? There's only one person that sings like him. And so it is a genius at work. And it's just like listening to somebody else who's beyond amazing at their craft. They've gotten to that place for a reason. And so that's what, you know, inspires me is watching musicians work at the level that they work at. And I feel the same way about my record label partner, and I haven't heard anybody sing like Caleb. So, you know, I'm in awe watching him a lot of the time. So it's good.
You had talked a little bit about, you know, spreading the message and, you know, your Christianity. And we talked a little bit about Love and Death, and we'll slide this in here real quick, Head. The new Love and Death live DVD coming out soon. You got Matty Mullins on there, which is, he's one of my favorite singers out there right now, period. Memphis Mayfire, great. But he also does straight up contemporary Christian songs. Like, he's not trying to hide his faith at all. You know, I had him on the show and we kind of joked about that, you know, just he's just like on Front Street. He's not trying to put it behind innuendo or anything else. So, I mean, talk a little bit about working with Matty Mullins and your history with him.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude, man. It's, you know, it's, we're just going down the road and trying to find the journey, you know, and trying to express ourselves in a way that it's unique to us, all of us, you know, because look, I understand. I get it when you, the Christianity thing, it's like, I just got through telling you, we get attacked a lot from those organized religious people. So I understand that people have walls that go up and whatnot, but you know, I love that you don't got to fit in a box nowadays. You just, you be yourself and you do what you do, and who cares about the haters, right? And so, yeah, Matty, I met Matty a while ago, actually, a few years ago, and we just never connected. It was through text and mutual friends. And then we finally connected. I was actually where we're, I think we're downtown where I live, and he had just a big group of his family and his wife and everything. And I was like, you know, gave the head nod, and because we hadn't met in person, and then and then we walked up to each other. Hey, you're Maddie. And he's like, yeah, man, it's good to remember we never hooked up. And I was like, dude, yeah, I thought that was you. And, you know, exchange numbers. Next thing you know, I'm at his house. Maddie is this barbecuing whiz. And so he's got endorsements, like meat endorsements.
Oh, wow.
They send him meat. And he fries up the grill, and I went over there and just freaking got fat. And so we were chilling, and next thing you know, we put this project together. And, dude, it's during COVID, and I'm like, I want guests. And, yes, I'm in Nashville, but it's a lot of country artists, you know. And so I was like, wait, Maddie lives down the street. And so I hit him up, and I'm thinking about Lacey. I want Lacey to come. But there's no way. She's like a few states over. And next thing you know, her and her husband are getting in a RV driving down to do the live event with us. And then, you know, who else do we have? We had Keith from Breaking Benjamin came. And I'm like, how are we putting this together? Everyone's afraid to fly, but we made it happen. It was right in the thick of it. And so, yeah, it was very amazing. And I'm going to talk to Maddie tomorrow. Actually, we're going to do Instagram Live. So, yeah, it's great to connect with him. He's amazing. He killed it on White Flag. That's one of probably the heaviest track on the record, and the Love and Death record. So, yeah, we're excited about the live DVD. And more than anything right now, man, the Korn track, Start the Healing, it's doing so well. People are really loving it, and it's a different type of song for us. The guitar work is different. Monkey, shout out to Monkey. He came up with this all of that song, and it's just a really unique track, and people are feeling it. The video, the director Tim and his crew did it, and it's just blown up, man. It's at like 1.3 in less than a week. Wow. 1.3 mil, and just people like it. We're getting messages from Russia and Europe and South America, and just very freaking excited, man, that after 26 years or whatever, Korn is still going, and our fans are the best. I know every band says that, but all those bands are wrong, because our fans are the best.
Absolutely, man. Is there an actual release date for the Beautiful Flaw? I know it says 2022. Where are we thinking? You know, month wise, maybe.
Yeah, around June.
Okay.
Maybe we'll drop it on your birthday head.
Come on, dude. I just want to tell you that, Javon, I haven't told you that title is amazing. The Beautiful Flaw. That summarizes like every human being, I think, you know, like we're just amazing creatures, but we're flawed.
Yeah.
I love it. Good job.
The part I love about it is, you know, in the last interview we were on today, they said, hey, you know, when did the addiction start? Well, the cover of the album is of a picture of me at 18 months old, pounding a tall can. Right. And so, I mean, what 18 month old kid is doing that? I mean, it's just it's so out there in your face of what I went through and how ridiculous it actually was. And so we're trying to drop probably by May, June. Humpty Dumpty, which is our next single, comes out. Video will be dropped first week of January. So we're following on, you know, 4 to 5 videos, 4 to 5 singles, and then we'll drop the album and probably come out with like another video or two. So we're keeping it going every, you know, roughly every 50 days on a new single that's going to be attached to the album. And then we'll do the full album release due to the fact that, you know, we're not a platinum selling artist at this point in the game. We felt it was more strategic to continue to release really good content, really good videos, get everybody ready for that album drop, instead of just being like, okay, here's the whole album. right? So we had a little bit different of a strategy. Zach Yoshioko, which had connected us with, is power line management. So power lines working with For the Win Media, which is Jamie. So I got a head has helped assemble just a phenomenal team that is representing Caleb and I. So, you know, we have the recipe, and you know, I feel like the music is just part of that recipe. But you know, getting ready to go on tour hopefully next year, and then do, you know, lots of live shows and stuff like that. So yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, as we kind of wrap this up, I got one more question for Head. You know, you guys went through one of the craziest COVID tours out there, you know, with Monkey having to take some shows off, Ray having to take some shows off, you guys missing shows because of Jonathan. How tough of a tour was that for you guys?
I mean, it's crazy because it's a serious thing. I know people, young people I even know that have died from COVID. So it's a serious issue, but you know, it's like, you got to live, man. We got to get this world. We can't let our country like crumble, you know? And so we got out there and we went, our fans needed us with, like, you know, people need live music. They need that inspiration. And so we just were like, let's go out there and do it. And no matter what comes against us, we'll keep going. And I'm like, look, if it's not meant to be, we'll be back home, right? If it's not meant to be, then it won't work. But, you know, every time somebody got COVID, we just kept going. Dude, Jonathan was the most safe dude on the tour with his girlfriend. And they were just like away from everybody. I barely saw him, and it was with a mask and, you know, all that. So it was crazy that we were at this hotel in Florida, and it was a freaking bodybuilding convention. And there was like all these steroid jacked up. There was girls that looked like bigger than our security guards by three times. They're just stacked. And so when we walked through the lobby, it was just like muscles everywhere. And I think that's where it started. And so we just fought through it, man. And I couldn't believe Monkey got it afterwards. And every time the tour manager came in and told us whoever got it, it was like he would come in white as a ghost, with his eyes just like huge, because our crew, we love our crew. They're like family, and they're finally working after a year and a half. And everyone's like, shit, are we going home? You know? And so every time he came in, he was just wide eyed. But you know, we had JR from Love and Death fly out, and Monkey wanted him to fill in for him. He's just a very professional, kind human being and kills it. Yep. Great guitar player. And then we're almost through the tour, and then Ray gets it. And so we're talking back and forth on text. I'm like, why'd you go to that Rolling Stones concert, you idiot? and then next thing you know, we get a fill-in, and he's doing it. Ray flies to the stadium shows with System of a Down, Korn, and with Helmet. And he gets there, and he gets a text. Surge has COVID, System of a Down's canceling, Korn's canceling. And so at that point, I just throw my hands up. I'm like, my daughter flew in for the concert. I'm texting her, telling her System of a Down set list because she loves System. And as I'm telling her, I get another text, and I text her right back. I say, never mind, that show's canceled. Let's go to the beach. So we went on a little vacation. But that was it. We fought through. We made it through. And just shout out to everybody out there that just pushed hard for this event, for the tour to happen, all the events to happen. And it was amazing. The backstage, you know, the security and the promoters and everybody at each venue were so appreciative. They're like, thank you so much for coming and doing this. You know, everybody wanted to work and feel normal again. And we got that for, I think we're out with the breaks and everything. We're out for almost 3 months. So
yeah, it was a long time. Well, guys, thanks for taking some time with me today. OD Dub, you know, tell everybody how to follow you, follow Noble Poets, and you know, make this thing, you know, explode.
Yeah, we have a website, noblepoets.com, Instagram, Noble Poets, Facebook, Noble Poets Music. So you just type in Noble Poets on Instagram, and it'll come right up. But yeah, we got a cool website, and you know, just connecting with people. So one thing that I've really prided myself on is I do the best I can. Obviously, I'm not perfect. None of us are. But you know, when people have tried to reach out and connect, I try to do the best I can to respond. Just connecting with people who are enjoying the process of watching us build, and you know, staying connected to those people. So it that's enjoyable for me.
Awesome. And ahead, yeah. I will say I will throw my ballot in for a pumpkin pie.
You think?
I would say go pumpkin pie. Like, you know, it's Friendsgiving. You know,
apple or pumpkin. I think,
or both. I mean, you know, take one of each.
Well, I'm going to Whole Foods, so they're going to be like $38 each.
Right.
Well, awesome, guys. And you guys have a great rest of your day. And thanks for taking some time
with me. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you, man. Be safe out there, both of you. And talk soon.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay. All right, Josh. Take care.
Pushing me to give in. Do you really wanna make believe and try to achieve a little break from the anger? I should've been good. I should've been down. I couldn't let go. What could I do? I could take it all away. The feeling, break apart the pain. It's not the feeling. I should've withstood. I should've calmed down. I couldn't get through. What could I do? Skies to bleed, you will succeed, pulling out the invaders. But there's always something fighting its way back in. But there's always something pushing me to give in. Do you really wanna make believe and try to achieve a little break from the anger? I should've been good, I should've been down. I couldn't let go, what could I do?
Presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.